This morning, Howell versus Transit Authority of the City of Omaha. Is council ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning, Ms. Ryan. You may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Julie Ryan, and I represent the defendant appellant in this case, Transit Authority of the City of Omaha, doing business as Metro. In this workers' compensation court appeal, Metro raises four assignments of error. The first two have to deal with the procedural defects in this case. Essentially, the Workers' Compensation Court did too much work too soon. And the assigned errors number three and four have to deal with more substantive errors that the court made, primarily the absence of a sufficient expert medical causation opinion. In this case, the parties do stipulate that there was a work accident. On February 17th of 2019, the claimant, appellee in this case, Ms. Howell, was driving a Metro bus when a metal bar became detached from the bus and it struck her right forearm, causing injury. The big issue here is that the parties never stipulated what the nature and extent of that injury was. So about over a year after the work accident, Ms. Howell did file a petition for workers' compensation benefits. In the petition, she's alleging that her disability is complex regional pain syndrome, which I'll refer to as CRPS, and that is the basis on which she was seeking compensation benefits before the trial court.
So let's talk about the procedure. At least in my experience, it's a little unusual. I haven't seen this, at least before this court before. Are you aware of any Nebraska cases that talk about pre-trial motions to compel medical treatment?
That's a great question, Your Honor. I did research and find about 30 cases where there's a motion to compel in the context of a compensation court, but never did I see one like the situation we have here. In the cases that I saw, a final award had already been entered, or there was a stipulation by the parties, whether that's just a run-of-the-mill stipulation or one that was part of a lump sum settlement that was approved by the court, where the employer agreed that there was a work-related injury, that they'd be on the hook for medical benefits going forward. So I think that is a key difference, and I think that there's some danger if this court touches on the procedural issues and does not remand it for a new trial or a new hearing, basically, that it's really setting precedent for sort of a backwards procedure of awarding future medical benefits when liability has not been established for past incurred medical benefits. It's a backwards sort of ordeal here.
So at the hearing on the motion to compel, did your client object initially to even having a determination of entitlement to medical treatment at that stage, or having an order with regard to that at that stage? I know after the fact, when the order went perhaps beyond what was anticipated, there was discussion with the court. But at the initial trial, what's your understanding of what occurred?
My understanding is that there was obviously some discussion about the FCE that was requested, and that was already resolved before the hearing. Then there was the discussion regarding the request for a vocational rehab counselor to be appointed. There was some pushback on that, but the court ultimately decided we'll just have somebody lined up. And then kind of what happened was the court calls the claimant to the stand to testify. And the words the court used leading up to that was, well, there's a lot of doctors involved in this case. Let's just get an idea of what's going on. So I think...
And also said there had been no determination of liability, as I recall.
Yes. At the outset of the hearing, Exhibit Number 10 was offered and entered into evidence. That's the joint stipulations. One of those was that there was a work accident, but it was very clear that the nature and extent of injury were still in dispute. And I don't read that transcript as the court saying, okay, let's dive into that and decide that today.
When you started to head down that road, was there an objection made by counsel to say that that's not why we're here today, or we're not prepared to proceed on this today, Your Honor? We did not know this is what was going to happen. Was there any formal objection made on the record?
No, there was not, Your Honor. And I think that the important thing to remember is that when the hearing was taking place, it was not clear to the parties, or at least to Metro, that the court was going to go down that road, even though there was some testimony that the court was eliciting regarding why there were three pain management specialists, why there's two orthopedic doctors, the primary care physician. So,
but would you agree the issue of whether she's entitled to the injections that were recommended by one of the physicians, that was in the motion, and you knew at the time of the hearing that was one of the plaintiff's requests?
I certainly agree with that. And I think this just goes back to the Workers' Compensation Court is the gatekeeper, and knowing that liability had not been established yet, the court should have not entertained that request for future medical benefits at that time. I mean, you have to keep in mind that this was only 2 months after the petition was filed. It's not in the record because the Metro served written discovery. We got written discovery after the hearing already happened. So, I mean, expecting discovery to happen within 1 month, not reasonable.
So your first position here is the workers' compensation statutes don't contemplate this type of motion at this stage of the proceeding. That's your first position. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor. I was not able to find any statute, workers' compensation statute, or workers' compensation rule of procedure that would allow for what the court did in this case.
Assuming we were to find that you could bring this type of piecemeal, I guess, type approach to this, is this a final order that's appealable? I mean, has the court hasn't resolved all the issues in your complaint? Why is this a final order?
My understanding is that it is a final order because not only did the court, I mean, the work accident, that was already stipulated, then the court went into finding that maximum medical improvement had not been reached yet, and that ketamine injections was the last thing, and once those are done, she would likely reach MMI. The court awarded temporary total disability benefits. In awarding the future medicals, that implies that all the other medical expenses from the infancy of the accident up till the point that Metro stopped paying were also, that Metro was also liable for those as well. So my understanding is it is a final order. It resolved several of the disputed trial issues that were raised in Howell's petition.
Well, more did it resolve than all of them?
I believe that it did.
So you don't anticipate going back for a final trial?
I don't think so, because I'm not sure what she would be requesting beyond what she's already been rewarded. She's already gotten the TTD, the medicals.
What about permanency? Was there anything done on that?
The Workers' Compensation Court said that the parties can apply to the court later on if somebody has an issue regarding permanent disability. I see that as leaving the door open for some later point in time, but I still think that doesn't change the fact that this was a final order. And
let me just clarify one other thing. You said there was no objection at the time of the hearing. Was there any type of formal request for continuance at that time?
There was not. There was not, Your Honor. And this goes back to Metro truly believed that the extent of what the trial judge ordered, they were not expecting that. When the order came out, it was a shock to see how much findings of fact and orders, awards were contained in that order.
Thank you.
And I see that I am out of time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Wolf.
Good morning, Judge. May it please the court, Thomas Wolf on behalf of the appellee, Shannon Howell. At the time of the injury, Shannon Howell was age 50, and she was working as a bus driver for Metro in the Omaha area. In addition, she also had a part-time job with TASA down at Epley Airfield. She testified that she would work 75 hours a week, and that all this came to an end on February 17, 2019, when a metal bar came down, striking her right arm, wrist. She had immediate pain. She was able to divert the bus to a safe place. It was during a blizzard. She called her dispatcher. They came out and gave her help. She saw immediate medical treatment. She was seen by numerous physicians, and she was followed by CompChoice at Metro's request throughout these proceedings. Judge Moore, you asked whether or not there is a case where future medical treatment was part of a motion to compel. Mm-hmm. Yes, that case, I believe it's the Roberts case, and cited in my brief.
But that was post-award.
That was post-award.
Yeah. So isn't that different than a pretrial motion here? There'd been no determination or stipulation of liability.
Yes, there has. Liability's not an issue.
Causation of her injuries?
There was a work-related accident and injury. That's the liability. The nature and extent of the injury was not stipulated to.
Right. So would you agree this was a pretrial motion?
Yes. Yes.
And so the case you cite is post-award, so that's distinguishable. Would you agree?
I agree, but it's still on a motion to compel. So
what section of the statute was that motion to compel brought under? Can you cite that to us?
Yeah, 48.162.03.
Are you aware of any appellate court cases in the state that has dealt with this situation?
Not exactly. The closest case would, I think, be that Roberts case, which is an unpublished case where the issues were similar, and that's also cited in my brief. But the reason for the motion to compel is Metro was paying Shannon workers' compensation benefits, throughout this time period, from February of 2019 up until June of 2020. They were paying the medical expenses. They were paying her indemnity, her mileage. All of a sudden, this stopped. And the reason it stopped was a report by Dean Wampler. So the trial court judge disregarded that report, found Shannon Howell's testimony credible, found medical causation, and that's established through Exhibit 4.
Which is what?
Medical records of Andrew Thompson.
All of Thompson's records?
Yes.
Did Dr. Thompson indicate that the CRPS was caused by this work-related accident?
Yes. And it's cited in my brief. He uses the word probable. First of all, let me back up. First of all, he examines Ms. Howell. She has numerous complaints. Right arm, neck pain, and headaches. Dr. Thompson attributes all those injuries back to the February incident. Later, there is a MRI done, and that MRI is consistent with complex regional pain syndrome. In his second visit with Dr. Thompson, he writes in his medical records, probable complex regional pain syndrome. Probable's good enough.
Probable as to that's the diagnosis, or probable that it's related to the accident?
He relates all the injuries to the accident. So on his initial visit, Shannon had these various complaints, which the doctor said are attributable to the February 2019 accident. They did some further diagnostic testing, including the MRI. After that MRI, Shannon went back to Dr. Thompson, and that's when he said probable regional complex regional pain syndrome. So, first of all, he says all these complaints are related, and then he says probable complex regional pain syndrome. And he's not the only doctor.
So before we get into the merits on the causation, can we back up on the procedure a little bit?
I can.
So we've talked with appellant counsel about whether this is a final order, whether the trial court went too far. Let's talk about the final order issue first. Do you think we have a final appealable order in a pretrial motion order?
I do. I know the attorneys cannot confer jurisdiction on this court, but workers' compensation proceedings are kind of a different animal.
I think we could stipulate to that.
Yes. Workers' compensation proceedings are kind of a different animal. So this did dispose of some, but not all of the issues. And I believe it is a final and appealable order.
So what issues do you maintain are not resolved at this point?
Okay. Well, assuming the court would affirm Judge Fitzgerald's decision, there are further issues. We would like to have these ketamine injections that Dr. Krasia recommended. And then after Shannon reaches maximum medical improvement, I suspect that there is going to be some permanent impairment. So I think it will have to determine permanent partial disability based upon a loss of earning capacity. And that's why the court ordered a vocational specialist to become involved, because it's pretty clear that Shannon's never going to be able to return as a bus driver. She did that for 10 years. She's never going to be able to do the heavy manual labor that the TASA job required. So Judge Fitzgerald said, let's get a voc person involved, which is a good idea.
And that's not at issue in this appeal.
No, they did not appeal that aspect.
So do you, what's your response to the argument that the trial court went too far in terms of what was requested in your motion?
Okay, but the due process argument that they bring is frivolous. They never objected to having the motion. They never objected during the hearing. They never requested a continuance. And the court will remember that they filed a motion to reconsider, and Judge Fitzgerald explained his reasoning in his order overruling the motion to reconsider.
Well, but I mean, I could envision that a person would be surprised by the order, because that wasn't what was sought. So, you know, counsel arguably wouldn't have known during the initial hearing that the court was going to decide all these additional issues that weren't part of the hearing or the motion, like MMI and resuming the temporary total disability payments. And none of that was requested in your motion, was it?
I think implicitly it was. There was three issues brought in the amended motion to compel. The first issue was functional capacity evaluation. The attorneys agreed before the hearing that issue had been resolved. The second issue is for future or further medical treatment. So doesn't that implicitly mean nature and extent of injury and whether she's at maximum medical improvement? Because most, if not all the time, if you're entitled to future medical treatment, you haven't reached maximum medical improvement.
How is this fair when they hadn't even had a chance to do discovery yet? They didn't even have answers to written interrogatories.
This case was pending since 2019. They had a nurse case manager involved. They had their claims professional
involved.
You're
saying the claim was pending, not the litigation. The claim was pending.
The claim was pending.
Right.
Right, but they were Metro was monitoring this claim all along through physicians at CompChoice.
But they hadn't retained counsel and they hadn't conducted formal discovery, no?
Correct. But it was a motion on narrow issues, primarily getting Shannon the treatment that she needs to get better. All of a sudden, Metro stops her benefits, she's not getting any money, stops her medical treatment, she has no money to pay for medical treatment. So what do? Wait 90 days for a trial date to come up?
Under these circumstances, the court could order treatment like that without prejudice to ultimately deciding the issue on the merits later?
I agree, and that's what Judge Fitzgerald's reasoning was. That I can decide whether she's entitled to future medical right now. I don't need a full-blown trial.
And if it's without prejudice, that would affect the final order, would it not?
I don't know that I've ever seen an order of the court say without prejudice of the work comp court. I've been doing this for 38 years. I've never seen it in an award or order. So,
I know you're out of time, but one final question then. So would you agree if this case would open up a whole new avenue that we haven't seen in our jurisprudence before about seeking medical benefits in advance of a trial on the merits through a motion process? That's what's happened here, correct?
That's what's happened, yes. Okay. And I don't think it would change what goes on in the workers' compensation court drastically at all. I mean, I deal with these all the time. Mm-hmm. It's the first one that's kind of been appealed, but we see motions to compel for various reasons all the time.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Okay, we appreciate you both being here. The case is submitted. Counsel is excused.